教堂以前我在你大人买一杯咖啡喝。
Before I got here, I got a cup of coffee from McDonald's.
在那里我碰到一个广东话的家庭。
I met a Chinese family who speak Cantonese.
我说你是不是去教会啊？
I asked them, are you going to the church?
我说这里有教会吗？
Church around here.
我说就在那里啊。
It's right over there.
他说几点就开始了。
What time do they start?
两点半。
They start at 2:30.
那么我听了以后很高兴。
I was glad to hear this.
为什么高兴呢？如果他说我来过这个教会，然后他不来，那我们也没有什么工作可以做。
If he had been here before and he did not come, there's nothing we can do.
但是他没有听过这个教会，就代表这个地方还有很多工厂可以发展。
Since he had never heard of the church, I know there is a big
mission field
for our church.
所以这个请弟兄姐妹为这个事情努力，天国的事情。
是的，
我们要把你们的教会的名传出去。
We should all work hard for the kingdom of God and spread the name of church, our church around our neighborhood.
有一个西班牙的哲学家，他的名字叫 George Centeno.
There is a Spanish philosopher whose name is George.Centeniana.
他说如果你拒绝从历史支取教训，你必被逼从他其复测。
He said that he who refused to learn from the history is forced to repeat his mistake.
所以今天我们就要从旧约圣经支取一些历史的教训。
Today I want to learn lessons from the Old Testament history.
我们知道大卫王死了以后，他的儿子所罗门继位。
You know, after King David died, his son Solomon became king.
所罗门死了以后，这个联合的王国就分成两部分。
After Solomon, the kingdom divided into two parts.
一个是北国。
One is called the Northern Kingdom.
一个是南国，就是所罗门亲自的儿子做王的。
And the other one is the Southern Kingdom led by Solomon's son.
那么这个北国呢，一直持续了208年。
The Northern Kingdom lasts for about 208 years.
那么总共呢有20个王帝。
There were 20 kings in the kingdom.
没有一个是好的。
None of them are good.
后来到208年以后，这个北国就亡国了。
After 208 years, the Northern Kingdom was destroyed.
但是南国有些好王稍微好一点点，所以神也怜悯他，让他这个朝代呢延续到347年。
The Southern Kingdom lasts a bit longer because there are several good kings.
那么也是20个王。
They also have 20 kings.
有一些好的，也有一些不好的。
Some good, some bad.
今天我们就要从这个南国的朝代当中呢，取了大概。118年这个时段来了解我们从这个时间当中学了什么历史的功课。
Today we want to look at about 100 some years from this Southern Kingdom.
有一个非常好的王，他的名字叫西西家。
There's a very good king. His name is Hezekiah.
那么他的儿子呢，是一个最坏的王，叫马拿西。
Yes, his son is one of the most evil kings. His name is Manasseh.
And then Manasseh 有一个儿子也做王了，也是非常邪恶的。
After Manasseh, there is another evil king.
但是很奇怪的，再下一代那个王呢，就是约西亚。
And then afterward, there is another king, Hosea.
他是一个很好的王。
He turned out to be a very good king.
那么我们首先对这几个王呢有点点了解。
Let me briefly introduce each one of these kings.
那么西西家呢是个好王。
Hezekiah is a good king.
他是一个宗教改革家。
He's a religious reformer.
他确立那个真诚的敬拜。
He established the worship of the true God.
他也把那个圣殿修好。
He's also the one that rebuilt the temple.
他也恢复到一个很大规模的逾越节的敬拜。
He also restored the celebration of Passover.
他也毁坏了所有的外邦的神事。
He also destroyed the temple of the foreign god.
但是当他的儿子马拿西的时候，情形就不同了。
But when Manasseh became king, the situation changed again.
马拿西就是以他的血腥跟杀戮来出名。
Manasseh is known for bloodshed and cruelty.
And then 他是一个暴君。
He is a dictator.
而且他离弃正道。
He abandoned all truths.
然后他把这个不合法的祭坛呢带到圣殿里面去。
He led these people into worship of different altars.
更不好的就是他激励国民去拜这些巴利啊、星象啊、招鬼啊，还有占卜，就是邪恶的事情。
He encouraged the Israelites to worship Baal and evil demon worship.
然后他的儿子呢叫亚门。
And afterward, his son Amon.
他的亚门呢，只做了两年的皇帝，后来就被人家杀死了。
Amon only reigned for about 2 years, and afterward he was assassinated.
圣经就说他拜偶像，跟他爸爸所做的完全一样。
Bible merely describes that he is same as his father, a worshipper of idols.
那么这两个皇帝呢，加起来大概有50年之久。
These two evil kings last for about 55 years.
然后他把这个鲁莽放纵，带到这个，权力。
He bring a lot of evil practice.
可以说是以色列历史当中是一个最属灵最黑暗的时代。
Among one of the dark age in the Jewish history.
那么我们看看，就停在这里，我们学了什么的功课呢
？Where can we learn from these kings?
为什么这个西西家那么好的皇帝，一下一代就变成那么糟糕呢
？How can Hezekiah, such a great king, have son that are so evil?
我想这个教训，我们可以从国家，甚至我们教会，甚至我们个人的生活学到一点功课。
From this, we can even refer not only that to ourselves, to our family, even to the whole country.
就是不管你多属灵，多爱神，但是你只不过是一代的距离离开最大的邪恶。
Listen, no matter how devoted you are to God, you are only one generation from being evil.
那么就带来一个功课，我们不能满足过去的成就。
The lesson is that we really cannot be satisfied with our past accomplishments.
我们也不能沾沾自喜的不追求长进。
We cannot stop learning.
每一个世代都要他自己来得到属灵的胜利。
Every generation must experience spiritual victory.
那么从这几个王帝当中呢，我们又看到另外一个观察。
From these kings, we also have another observation.
那么这个西西家是一个非常好的皇帝。
Hezekiah such a great king.
为什么会养出一个那么坏的儿子呢
？How can he raise such evil sons?
那么我们说，敬虔的父亲是不是一定有敬虔的孩子呢
？Does a devoted father guarantee a good son?
这个，所以中国有话说，有其父必有其子。
The Chinese has the saying that like father, like son.
一般来讲，这个是对的。
Generally, these are true.
但是在这个情形呢，一个好的父亲居然产生一个邪恶的儿子。
But in this case, we see that a great father raised two evil sons.
也许我们可以在这里学到一个功课。
Maybe there is a lesson for us to learn here.
当我们做一个敬虔的父亲，我们的儿子是很敬虔的话，上帝是不跟我们说。
You see, God is telling those who are devoted that if your son turned out to be very, very good, God is telling you, don't be so
proud.
When you have a good son, it's completely because of God's blessing for you. Because of God's mercy to you.
But
How can then after these two evil generation of kings, a great king arise?
那么这个敬虔的儿子的名字呢，就是西西亚王。
The good king is Hezekiah.
他是南国历史当中一个最好的王。
He is one of the best kings in the southern kingdom.
我们今天很多人有孩子的时候，就命名为Josiah， 就是约西亚。
Yeah, it's Josiah is the name of the king.
这个皇帝呢，把整个国家呢带到神的面前。
this new king bring the whole country back to God.
结果神开恩让北方的亚述王就不能侵略他。
And God, because of him, God delayed the attack of Assyria.
而且他也把这个拜邪教这个习惯呢，通通消除。
He also abolished all the idol worship in the land.
还有一件事情，等一下我们再有讨论，就是在他的当政的期间呢，他发现一个律法书。
Also, another thing I want to mention that during the time of his reign, he discovered the law, the book, the laws again.
他也带全国的军民与神立约。
He also bring his back people back to make a covenant with God.
再次把逾越节的敬拜带到一个宏伟的圣典。
Again, they have come to follow and celebrate the day of Passover.
那么这里有产生另外问题。
And there's another question arise.
为什么他的爸爸是个邪恶的人，他的祖父也是邪恶的人，居然会生出一个好的孩子呢？
How can someone with an evil father and grandfather turn out to be so good?
So bad. So, oh, oh, yeah. The father and the, yeah. 所以我们这个要思考的时候就发现，一个人没有什么借口说我不能改好了，因为我爸爸是不好。
That's why there's nobody can have an excuse to say because of my father is so bad, then I'm hope, there's no hope for me.
So 我们看看，不管你什么家庭出生，神都放一个希望放在里面。
That's why no matter what your family background is, God always give us hope.
但是这里又产生第三个问题：如果好的父亲不能教养一个好的孩子，坏的父亲也居然有一个好的孩子，那么我们在教会为什么要讲这个家庭问题呢？
If a good father cannot guarantee good sons and an evil father don't generally produce evil children, what is the use of child education?
在我们教会里面，我们常常设立一些讲座。
Very often we have many seminars in the church.
就是如何教导孩子。
How to teach and raise your children.
我想对这个问题的答案是大概是这样。
I think the answer to this question is such.
其实神要我们有一个好的家庭，并不是为了我们有好的儿女，然后荣耀我们自己。
God give us good children, not so that we can be proud of ourselves.
因为这个建立好家庭、好的婚姻，乃是上帝的旨意。
Because a good family and good children are the way of God.
所以我们要有好家庭、好儿女呢，完完全是为了荣耀神、讨他的喜悦。
The goal of a good family and our children are to glorify God.
那么如果我们要讨神的喜悦，一定要知道他的原则，一定要知道他的意思是怎么样。
If we are to learn to please God, we must know why God wants us to do, how we want to do it.
那么圣经里面就给我们五个原则，如何建立一个符合神心意的家庭跟夫妇的关系。
Actually, for me, there are five principles we can learn about how to establish a godly family.
第二原则是从圣经一个地方出来的，他说婚姻人人都当尊重，床也不可不畏，因为苟合行淫的人神必审判。
Here, the first principle we can learn that the marriage is holy, that everybody should respect, and the marriage faith should be kept pure.
所以第一就是婚姻一定要圣洁。
That the marriage is holy.
第二个原则就是与孩子有关。
The second principle here is that it relates to children.
他说儿女是耶和华所赐的产业，所怀的胎也是他所想赐的。
He said the children are the heritage of the Lord, and the offspring are the blessing from His hand.
所以我们要爱我们的孩子，要教导我们的孩子，也不要虐待他。
That's why the parents should love their children, teaching them and not abuse them.
第三个原则呢，就是圣经所讲到婚姻的问题，就是二人成为一体，神所配合的人不可分开。
The third principle that we can gather is that the marriage is established by God, the two should become one.
所以这个婚姻呢，是在神面前所立的约。
That's why the marriage is a covenant before God.
所以我们基督教就不赞成这个离婚，就是这个道理。
That's why generally Christianity we don't support divorce.
第四个原则呢，就是家庭呢，还是要反射神的荣耀。
The fourth principle we can learn that the family is to reflect God's glory.
圣经讲到婚姻还有一个更大的属灵的意义。
The marriage does have a deeper spiritual meaning.
保罗说这个是一个极大的奥秘。
Paul said that this is a great mystery.
他说我是指着基督与教会说的。
He said the mystery that I'm referring to the Christ and the church.
所以一个家庭呢必须要尽心尽性爱神。
That's why a family must be loved out with all our heart, with all our mind.
第五个原则就是在家庭里面每一个成员他有他自己的责任。
The fifth principle we can gather is that there is a role for each member of the family.
男人必须做头，做领导的工作。
The man is to be the head of the household, to be the leader.
女人应该是帮助丈夫。
The woman is to be a helper.
那么这个帮助呢，并不是说他在次要的地位。
The helper doesn't imply a secondary position.
因为在基督里面，神跟约书亚说：“我也是你的帮助。”
Because in the Old Testament, God tells Joshua, "I am your helper."
那么小孩子呢，就要顺服跟听从父母的话。
As for the children should submit and obey their parents.
那么这五大原则呢，是非常简单的。
These five great principles are very clear in the Bible.
虽然是那么简单，但是它的影响力很大。
Even though they are so simple, but they affect the whole family.
如果每一个家庭都照着这五个原则去做的话呢，整个社区都会蒙福。
If all the family can reflect these five principles, the whole society will be benefited.
整个国家也能够兴旺。
The whole country will be prospered.
但是我们看到今天美国这个社会，
As we look at our U.S. society today,
我们刚刚讲到五个原则，它都藐视。
All the five principles have been belittled today.
结果呢，我们看到这个同性恋。
We see the prevalence of homosexuality.
我们看到这个婚前的性关系。
Because we see the premarital sex.
And then 我们也看到这个乱交跟堕胎。
We see it all those sexual abuse and abortion.
离婚看成这个常事。
Divorce is become a.
对小孩子的虐待也是从新闻当中常常听到。
Child abuse is something that we heard all the time.
所以我们这个看到这个社会呢，就知道这个国家一定会软弱。
As we look at all these events, we know the country will become weak.
美国虽然有快300年的强盛
，after 300 years of prosperity，
但是刚刚我们学到，只有一代，最多两代，这个强盛的国家也会衰败。
We learned before it takes only one generation to bring everything to ruin.
那么历代之下34章第一节这样讲。
On the second chronicle, chapter 34, the Bible tells us.
他说约书亚登基的时候才8岁，在耶路撒冷做王31年。
Josiah reign began when he was 8 years old. He reigned for 31 years.
但是历史对他的评价是非常高。
The history gave him a very high esteem.
他说他行耶和华眼中看为正的事，效法他主大卫。所行的不偏左也不偏右。
The Bible says that he did what is right in the eye of the law as his father David.
那么这里讲到他行耶和华中眼中看为的事。
He do what is right in the eye of God.
我们知道一件事情是一回事。
When we know something is one thing.
但是我们把这个你所知道的行出来，又是另外一个事情。
To be able to do what you know.Another thing.
那么圣经说，他说，他做王第8年，上审年幼，就寻求他列祖大卫的神，到了12年才洁净犹大和耶路撒冷。
Bible said that when he reigned for 8 years at age 16, while he was young, he searched, he seek the God of David.
你看他这个那么年轻的皇帝，他会做那么伟大的事情。
These young kings are able to do these great things.
他除去一切的秋坛。
He get rid of all the fallen altars.
他除去木偶雕刻。
And also all the idols.
所有外邦人的神像、铸造的像，他都剪除。
All the image of the fallen god, he burned them.
他这个动作不但影响他自己耶路撒冷，
not only the this deed not only affect the Jerusalem.
圣经讲了马拿西、以法莲、西面、拿伯塔利，所有耶路撒冷四围的地方都受到他的影响。
Even all the region beyond Judah, Nephata, Ephraim, everywhere are all affected by him.
甚至影响到以色列的遍地。
To over all the land of Israel.
那么经过这个全国性的的净化洗罪。在这个过程当中呢，约西亚做了一件事情。
In throughout this time of renewal for the time, there's one thing that Josiah did.
就是他在他二十六岁的时候，还是非常的年轻，他就决定修复这个圣殿。
Age 26, he decided to rebuild the temple.
因为他的爸爸跟他的祖父呢，已经不顾这个圣殿，圣殿已经被人废墟。
The temple has been neglected by his father and grandfather.
所以他就把他几个重要的仆人、臣宰就叫来，然后叫他见这个大祭司，要他重建圣殿。
So he gathered some of his servants and the chief servants to come and rebuild the temple.
那么这个年轻的王帝的影响力非常大。
This young king have a great influence.
整个国家各地的人呢，都为了建殿的缘故呢，奉献很多很多的钱。
People all over the country contribute to the building of the temple.
那么他们就把这些钱交给守殿的利未人。
They gave all this money to the Levites who are the guardian of the temple.
那利未人呢，就把他交给那个大祭司叫希勒加。
And the Levites gave the money to the high priest.
那这个大祭司呢，就用这些钱请了木匠、石匠。还有买了很多的木啊、铁啊，这个材料。
So the chief priest used this money to hire carpenter, mason, and a lot of building material.
那么这里看起来好像也没有什么特别。
This is seem like something very common.
但是我读这个圣经的时候，我发现有一个问题在里面。
When I was reading, I was touched by something.
为什么这些人会那么慷慨，愿意把那么多的金钱，这个奉献给这个圣殿呢？
Why are all these Jews become so generous, willing to give so much money to the building of the temple?
我觉得他们是在这个经济观上面有个很大的转变。
I think in the economic sense there is a change.
因为这个转变呢，那是因为他们全部悔改的关系。
This change are rooted in the repentance that they experience.
所以我们现在思考一下，到底基督徒的经济观是怎么样？
Then I want to think about what should be the economic concept for a Christian.
那么我们想这个问题的时候，我们一定要追溯到神的创造。
We must start with the creation of God.
神有没有创造这个宇宙呢？他是从无变有。
God created this universe from nothing.
既然是无，所以他就不依靠什么东西来做他的创造。
When God created everything from nothing, He did not need anything to create.
既然都不依靠所有任何的东西，所以他就可以说他拥有一切。
Because everything comes from nothing, He is the one that created everything. That's why He owns everything.
所以这个无中生有呢，就带出两个神的属性。
From the creation of all nothing, there are two things that we can learn.
一个是权力，一个是权威。
One is called power, and the other one is authority.
那权力，权力是什么意思？就是他能够有力量完成他的旨意。
What does power imply? Power implies that he has the ability to accomplish what he wants to do.
权威呢，就代表他能够支配一切。
Authority, that means he has the right to distribute whatever he wants to do.
从这两个观念呢，就带出一个管家的观念。
From these two ideas, we can come to the idea of stewardship.
所以我们第一个经济学101呢，基督徒的经济学101呢，就是神拥有一切。
For Christian, the economic 101 is that God owns everything.
那么随着这个管家的观念，就带出一个就随着这个神拥有一切的观念，就带出这个管家的观念。
That we are but stewards for God, what God has.
那什么叫管家呢？
Who are stewards?
管家就是神给责任，叫他管理万物。
Steward who receive assignment from God to manage things.
所以并不是说神不能管理，乃是神愿意经过人去管理。
Not that God cannot manage himself, God assigns people to manage.
那么虽然人有那么大的权利去管理万物，但是他要记得他是服在主人的权柄之下。
Even we are given authority to manage things, that we have to remember when we see that a power from God.
然后他管理的时候有一个目标，就是要为了主人的利益。
Remember, the manager are doing it for the benefit of the owner.
那么他怎么去管理呢？
How are we to manage?
神绝对不会给我们一个工作，然后不给我们一些工具。
God always provide us the tools so that we can manage what He wants us.
这个工具呢，就是神赐给人家智慧跟分辨的能力。
The tool that He has given to us is our wisdom and the ability to distinguish right and wrong.
在这个过程当中呢，我们就会做了很多的选择。
In there, we can make the right choice.
这个选择呢，就需要上头来的智慧。
To make it the right choice, we must have the wisdom from above.
那么在这个基督徒的经济观底下，就是我们今天所学的经济学。
Under this Christian concept of economic is economy.
这个经济学有一个很重要的观念叫 opportunity cost of choice， 就是我们如果做个选择的话，我们会失去另外一种东西。
这个 idea of opportunity cost of choice， that means if you do something you it costs you not to do it。
那我这个不好翻译，所以我就举个例。
Let me just give you an example。
如果我口袋里面只有五块钱，
If I only $5 in my pocket,
那我只能吃一个 hamburger.
I can either buy just a hamburger.
但我买了 hamburger 以后，我就买这个 Dunkin' Donuts 这个机会就失去了。
Once you spend the $5 on hamburger, then you cannot spend on dessert.
那么对中国人来讲，我喜欢吃牛肉面。
I like to eat a beef soup.
那么你吃了牛肉面以后，你想吃扬州炒饭就没有机会了。
After you order your beef stew, you cannot.
所以这个就是经济学就基于一个因素，就是我们的资源是有限。
Opportunity cost says that there is a limited resource there.
我们时间也是有限。
We have a limited time.
所以我们要做一些正确的选择，需要上头来的智慧。
We must have a wisdom from above to make the right choice.
那么十八世纪有一位哲学家叫尼采。
In the 18th century, there is a philosopher called Friedrich Nietzsche.
他做了一个很有意思的预测。
He had a very interesting prophecy.
因为他的哲学的中心就是上帝死了。
The core idea of his philosophy that is the philosophy that God is dead.
意思是说我们不需要上帝。
I mean that there's no need for God anymore.
但是一没有上帝的话，我们人的心里面就有一个很大的空虚。
But once the God is taken out, there's a big vacuum in human heart.
那么这个空虚呢，必须要填满的。
How are we to fill that vacuum?
通常就是用钱来填满。
Usually people use money to fill it.
所以有一位传道人叫 Timothy Keller， 他写了一本书。
That's why Timothy Keller wrote a book.
他就讲到这个假神。
He talk about counterfeit God.
Counterfeit God. 所以呢，我们在美国虽然没有像在东方人拜偶像，但是这个物质主义就成为我们的偶像。
Even though we don't worship idol anymore here in the East, in the West,
so
we begin to worship money as our idol.
所以当越西亚接近了全国的属灵风气以后呢，人民的思想就改变了。
After Josiah restored the spiritual environment in the country,
既然我所拥有的都是属于上帝的，那我奉献给这个圣殿也有什么可惜呢？
So once the idea that since God owns everything, what does it cost me to give it back to Him?
所以这个就成为他们奉献一个正确的态度。
That is the motivation for giving for them.
我知道你们教会现在在建堂。
I know your church is building a new sanctuary.
建堂就需要钱。
That we need a lot of money.
我不是鼓励你们就今天去奉献。
I'm not coming to tell you to give money to.
但是如果你的属灵思想世界观改变以后，你对这个奉献给圣殿就不是一个很难的事情了。
Once your worldview has changed, to give money to build church is now a very difficult thing.
好，现在我还回到这个建重建圣殿这个故事。
Let's go back to the story of.
那么大祭司拿到一大堆钱的时候，他就开始跑到圣殿里面去。
Once the high priest gathered all this money, he began to go to the temple.
他到处都看到一些一堆一堆的烂石头。
When he go there, he see a lot of ruined rock stones.
但是突然间他发现有一些东西很奇怪。
In the midst, he discovered something that's unusual.
然后他一看，原来是一个神的律法书。
He saw he discovered the law book of the God.
那么大祭司呢，就交给那个王的书记。
So the high priest called the high servant of the king.
那么这个书记呢 secretary 呢就把这个书读给约西亚王听。
So the secretary of the king began to read the law to Josiah.
听了以后他撕裂衣服。
After Josiah heard the law, he ripped his clothes.
原来这个书呢就是预言南国快要灭亡。
Because the law concerned the coming destruction of the southern kingdom.
所以这个王呢马上叫他重要的神仆来到他面前。
And the king decided to call in all his important servants.
叫他们把这本书带到一个女先知叫乌勒大的手中。
He told them to give this robe to Luda, the one of the three the
prophets. Yeah. 那么这个女祭司呢？女先知呢？就把这个书一看。
After the prophets read the book.
他就确定这个是上帝的话语。
He confirmed indeed these are the law book from God.
那么这个王呢，就不浪费时间，马上叫犹大、耶路撒冷、祭司跟所有的百姓到他面前。
Without delaying, the king called in all the people from all over the land.
他就把他们一同带到圣殿去。
Together they come to the temple.
把这个书读给他们听
and read the law book to them.
而且引领这个国民去在神面前立约
and lead them before God to make a new covenant.
叫他们尽心尽性尽力顺服书中所说的一切话
that they devote themselves to follow everything that is in the law book.
叫他们完完全全的听从这个诫命法度律例
now they will obey and follow what is in the law book.
于是约西亚王呢，再次把神认为可憎之物的通通消灭。
Again, King Josiah destroyed all the detestable things in the land.
然后看到一个从来没有看过的属灵的大复兴。
And you see the great revival in the kingdom.
就是全国的上下军民呢都侍奉耶和华。
And that the whole kingdom, young and old, everyone begin to worship God.
那么圣经给约书亚一个非常好的评估。
That's why the Bible have a description of Josiah.
他说约西亚在世的日子，跟从他列祖的神，总不离开。
That in the day of his life, Josiah never stopped following his God.
那么这个属灵的大复兴呢，完全是因为那个律法书。
This spiritual revival are coming from the law book.
那么我们要对这个律法书有一点点认识。
As we come to learn about God's law,
我们就受到1400年出埃及这个故事。
We all know about the story of Exodus.
那么当以色列人离开回奴之家埃及，到了旷野的时候
when
只需要三个月的时间
it takes roughly 3 months for Jews to leave the land of slavery Egypt
然后三个月以后他们到了西乃山
after 3 months they reach Mount Sinai
那么在西乃山呢神亲自对摩西说话
over at Mount Sinai God spoke to Moses
我们最熟悉就是摩西把十诫写下来
we know about the Ten Commandments that he received there
但是上帝不单单是十诫，还有很多的话跟摩西讲。
Not only the Ten Commandments, God also gave him many laws.
那么摩西就把神的话一一都写下来。
Moses written down all these what God told him.
当他们40年之久呢，完全靠这个律法书来帮助他们怎么样行走神的道路。
40 years wandering on the wilderness is is in the process of learning from the book.
那么四十年以后呢，他们就进入迦南地。
After 4 years, they went into the promised land.
一进入迦南地以后，约书亚就是那个时候波西指使了，约书亚就把神的律法书诵读一遍。
When they reached the promised land, the new leader Joshua began to teach them about the law.
那么从进入迦南以后，有800年之久了。这个律法书成为他们脚前的灯，路上的光。
For 800 years, these law books become the lamp to their feet and the light for their path.
后来到了马拿西的时代。
And come to the time of
Manasseh.
他们不知道曾几何时，这个律法书就失去了。
For some reason, the law book disappeared.
那么我们不能不问下面一个问题。
That's why we cannot but ask this question.
以色列人对这个律法书看成是一个宝贝。
They treat the law book as a treasure for them.
但是一个宝贝怎么会丢掉呢？
How can you lose the treasure book?
我想这个不难了解。
This is actually not difficult to understand.
因为我每天我对总有一段时间这个眼睛会丢掉。
every time during the day, I lost my glass.
但是很快的，我会把这个东西找回来。
But somehow I managed to find my eyeglass again.
为什么？因为我需要它嘛。
It happened because I need it.
我不能每一个时刻都不需要它。
I cannot do it without it.
所以我会把它找回来。
That's why I will find it out.
但是有一些文件我也是非常的宝贝。
There are other documents which are very important to me.
就是我台大毕业的。文凭
my degree from University of Taiwan.
自从我毕业以来，我把它看成宝贝，就把它藏起来了。
I it's so important to me. I put it in a secret place.
而且藏到一个非常安全的地方。
A very safe secret place.
但是因为我没有每天去看它，所以现在又找都找不到。
Now it's so secret, I cannot find it.
所以我们就知道，一样东西如果不成为你日常生活。必需品呢，也一定不会把它忘记。
Anything that's important, if we don't use daily, even then we will lose it.
但是有一个事情更不可思议的，就是这个书到底在什么地方失落呢？
Another thing that's beyond understanding, how can where do they lose that law book?
是在圣殿里面失落。
They lost the book in the temple.
这个书是神圣的。
This holy book.
圣殿也是神圣的。
In the holy place.
但是居然在圣殿里面失去这个宝贝的书。
Yet they lost the book within the temple.
那么我们回到今天这个社会，我们就问一个问题。
As we look at our time, we ask this question.
我们有没有可能在教会里面失去耶稣基督呢？
Is it possible for us to lose Jesus Christ even in the church?
我想有可能。
I think it's possible.
因为在我们这个有一定的福音运动里面呢，我们常常就聊天，但是从来没有提过基督。
Very often, even in the church, we talk about a lot of religious book things, but not Jesus Christ.
我们也常常有很多的讨论，但是这个 doctrine 就是这个doctrine 就很少提到。
Even though we have a lot of discussion, we don't talk about doctrine much.
所以呢，有时候我们忽略了教义。
Very often we ignore the teaching of the church.
我们也很少去教会的 website 里面看看我们信仰的宣告。
Not many of us go to the
article of faith.
Article of faith in our.
所以呢，我们的讲道，我们的圣经的讨论，跟这个原文见证会，跟这个摩门教没有太大区别。
So very often we don't know the difference between what we believe and other denominations.
所以如果你只是一两次跑到耶和华教会里面听到，跑到叫莫门教听到，听不出什么东西。
So if you go to Jehovah Witness Church or Mormon Church, you may not be able to tell the difference.
因为他们不谈这个教义。
Because they don't teach about doctrine.
如果我们不谈这个教义的话呢？人家也不能分辨。
If we don't talk about doctrine, other people will not able to know how we believe.
我们要爱我们的邻舍。
We want to love our neighbor.
但是我们也没有想过，耶和华见证会的人，他的爱心比我们更大。
Have you seen that Jehovah's Witness they love neighbor even better than we do?
Yeah, 所以我们必须要在教导方面呢，这个教义、圣经、耶稣又常常提的。
That's why it's very important that we study our doctrine and talk about Jesus Christ.
我们常常说我们有传福音。
We talk about we want to evangelize the world.
但是我们对这些不懂，所以就是说，哎，我做见证的好了。
But because of our lack of understanding of the doctrine, we can say we will just make personal testimony.
见证是非常重要，不要听错。
Personal testimony are important also.
但是这个见证不是福音。
But your personal testimony is not the gospel.
见证乃是把人带到福音的前面而已。
Your personal testimony help bring people to the gospel.
但是我个人觉得见证对不信主的人也没有太大的用。
Very often I fear our personal testimony may not be very useful, helpful to other people.
因为他们的世界观跟我们不同。
Because their worldview are very different from ours.
你说我有生病，我祷告，神医好我。
You tell them that I'm sick and I pray and God heal me.
如果他们的世界观不同，他说这个有什么稀奇？我拜佛也会好。
He said, what's so unusual about that? My idol can heal me.
所以我觉得见证的重要性还是鼓励弟兄组内的弟兄姐妹。
The purpose of personal testimony is to encourage one another.
所以我们要常常回到这个基要真理。
But we must go back to the fundamental doctrine.
因为福音就是讲了耶稣的工作，耶稣的话语。
Because the gospel is about the words of Jesus Christ and the deeds of Jesus Christ.
有一本书叫 Priceless Christianity， 就是没有基督的基督教。
There's a book called Priceless Christianity.
就提出这样子说，今天美国的教会就有这个危机。
There is such a crisis in U.S. church today.
那么有一个非常有力量的传道人叫 Joel Osteen.
You know, there is a powerful speaker called Joel Osteen.
如果你听他讲到的时候，其实没有太大的内容，但是从来不谈这个罪。
You know, when you listen to his preach.Even though it's not very deep, but he never talked about sin.
有一次，他被一个电视的访问说，你为什么不讲罪呢？
One time, a newsman asked him, why you are not talking about sin?
他说，也许我以后也不会讲。
He said, maybe I will not never talk about it.
因为他们知道了。
But they already know they are sinners.
他说，我的责任就是把人家拉上来，不是把人家拉下来。
He said, my job is to raise people up, not bring them down.
有一次人家继续问他，你觉得这个犹太教、摩门教、这个跟基督教有什么区别呢？
One time people ask you, is there a difference between Judaism, Mormon, and Christianity?
他说没有太大的区别。
He said, to me, they are very similar.
都是教导我们做一个好人。
They all teach us to be good.
所以他们这个宽容呢，成为一个外衣。然后传这个没有基督的基督教。
Their acceptance of become an outer clothing in which the church become a Christ.
所以我们在教会里面必须要小心。
That's why we have to be very careful in the church.
我们说福音就是 good news 好消息。
Gospel which is the good news.
但是如果没有坏消息呢，就显明就是个好消息。
But without first the bad news, you do not know what the good news.
一般的人希望有和睦的相处的关系，人际关系。
We all want to be harmoniously with other people.
有个美满的家庭。
To have a perfect family.
我们的孩子会进名校。
Now our children will go to a good school.
所以他们所追求的并不是福音，而是人的忠告，人的建议。
Very often, what people are looking for is not the gospel, but advice and good advice from people.
有一些教会提倡一个叫 seeker-sensitive gospel.
一个叫
这个叫我们要对这些慕道友呢要非常敏感，不要得罪他们。
The church said that we should be very sensitive to people who are seeking.
这句话其实有很多的问题在里面。
Actually, there are many problems in this belief.
首先 ，seeker 这句话已经有问题了。
First of all, the idea of a seeker.
因为我们这个老我，我们这个还没有重生的人，是永远不会寻找神的。
Because Bible teaches us that the old self never want God.
所以耶稣说，我来是要寻找拯救世上的人。
That's why Jesus said, I come to seek and save those who are lost.
若不是耶稣找我们，我们绝对找不到他。
If not for us, Jesus Christ seeking us, we can never.
我们属灵的眼睛是瞎的。
Because our spiritual eyes are blind.
所以我们需要注意这个事情。
That's why we have to be very vigilant.
那么今天我们讲了很多的教训。
There are so many ideas I share with you.
所以我现在就要把它总括在一起。
I want to summarize all these.
第一点就是我们每个人的属灵的关系都是自己的责任。
First, all of us are responsible for your own spiritual condition.
第二，我们要按着圣经建立合神心意的家庭。
We must establish a family that is in accordance with biblical principle.
我们要尊重这个婚姻。
We have to honor the marriage.
然后我们要除去心中的偶像。
We must rid ourselves of many idols in our heart.
我们要了解神拥有一切，我们只不过是管家。
We must realize that God owns everything. We are but stewards of God.
最后，我们的服事跟我们传福音必须以基督为中心。
Finally, all our service, all our worship must be Christ-centered.
愿这些教训能够铭刻在弟兄姐妹的心中。
May these principles be deeply ingrained in our heart.
我们低头祷告。
Let's pray together.
主，谢谢你给我们那么丰盛的教训。
Father, we thank you for all these teaching that you provided to us.
教导我们如何讨神的喜悦。
You teach us so that we can live a life that's pleasing to you.
好叫我们个人、家庭跟这个国家都因此能够蒙福。
So that individually our soul, our family, and our country can be blessed by you.
我们也为这个国家祷告。
We pray for our country.
我们对民主党没有信心。
Although we have no faith on the Democratic Party,
我们对共和党没有信心。
We have no faith on the Republican Party.
我们知道神的国是坚定不移。
But we know the kingdom of God is firmly established.
而且圣经告诉我们，上帝的国是永远的存下去。
And also the Bible teaches us that your kingdom is eternal.
我们看到很多事情让我们失望。
Even though we are fearful as we watch a thing around us.
但是我们看到将来在新天新地的荣耀，我们就受到鼓励。
Yet we also see the new kingdom, the new heaven and earth, and we are encouraged.
也给我们一个更加传福音的热情。
Give us the burden, the ardent to share the gospel.
把这个教会交在恩主的手中。
We put this church in your hand.
求主祝福他们建堂的施工。
Bless this church as they build the sanctuary.
也愿意神的话语完全不离开这个教会。
May your word always abide here.
我们向你祈求祷告，奉耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray all this in Jesus' name.